Hello, welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. Delighted to be joined by D from Back of the Nest. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Relaxed. Well, literally right now. And also, like, Palace wise, it's a bit. I don't want the season to end, and I do at the same time. It's weird. It is a weird feeling right now.
Yeah, I mean, before we got Champions League, I was looking at this game thinking, I don't want to play them last game because you're absolutely flying. And Eze and Elise, I mean, that was sending shivers down my spine at one point, thinking about them two linking up against us. So the season as a whole, then, I guess you've kind of got to split it into two parts. You've got Hodgson at the start, and now Glasner, who's come in and has really sort of set the Premier League alight with the form. So as a whole, how's the season been?
How do I say this? I think it's been very long. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's been a long season. I mean, even when we had Hodgson, it was probably the most toxic it's been as a Palace fan since we got promoted, or banners at games. I remember, I guess, Bournemouth at home. I think it was early December. It might have been late November, I'm not too sure. But, you know, they'll chant about you're not fit to wear the shirt. Under the Hodgson regime, he kind of criticised the young players when they were only playing 5-10 minutes. It was just baffling. Got onto the fans. So a lot of people were fed up, and a lot of people were thinking, like, what is the purpose of Crystal Palace Football Club right now? It just didn't make sense. Nothing made sense. Keeping even Hodgson for a year, it didn't make sense. It just felt like it was just like the easier option to do based on what happened the previous season when he came in. And I mean, up until Glasner, you know, came to the football club, it was dire. It was absolutely terrible. And you saw it by our results, our performances, individual performances that just regressed this season. Like, everyone was just going downhill. And if you did keep watching, there was a, you know, solid chance that we could have still went down as well. Which, with this squad, I mean, we're seeing the qualities right now. We shouldn't really be talking about relegation. So it's been frustrating, because I honestly rate the squad higher than where we've been for the majority of the season. I don't think we should be talking about relegation. And the fact that we did for large chunks was frustrating. But now, which is weird, we're in with a chance of finishing in the top 10. And we're like 20 points above Luton. But it just feels like only yesterday we were only 5 points above them. So, yeah, I think there's two halves to the season, two different chapters. And right now, under Glasner, the best thing to say is we've got our football club back. Like, it's not in the case of just being on this unbeaten run. It's the fact that we are playing to win games. We look like a well-coached side. Before, under the Hodgson regime, we were having a goalkeeper coach sort our set pieces out. And surprise, surprise, he was one of the worst teams, or if not the worst team in the league in set pieces so far this season in terms of conceding. Palace. Fitness all over the place until Glasner came in. Like, all the basics. Just Palace didn't have the basics. And now we've actually got that. And we're just building on it game by game.
Yeah, because I was listening to TalkSport, and obviously Simon Jordan's on there, who used to own Crystal Palace. So he generally does talk about you a bit, and you know, he's good. And, you know, sometimes you get Palace fans phoning up, and the question gets asked, like, what are Palace like? Where are they meant to be? And generally, everybody just says, like, survive. And I always look at it and think, you know, you're an established Premier League club now that's been in the Premier League for, you know, a good number of years now. And I've always felt like there should be a bit more, like there should be a bit more ambition. So do you now start to feel like Glasner is the guy that can sort of just give you that bit of belief that you can start climbing the Premier League table?
He is, and I'm not just saying this based on the short-term results. I mean, even at the start of Glasner's era, which, I mean, it still feels like the start, but, you know, the first seven games or so, I think he was winless. And there were some Palace fans, I don't know why, they were saying, oh, what's the difference between him and Roy? But ever since he's come in, game by game, we've made improvements. This is not a short-term new manager bounce. We weren't that great results-wise. When Glasner did join, we conceded still last-minute goal against Luton. You know, we still, you know, even though we made small improvements, we were still, like, we're still in the process of reaching our potential. He hasn't even had a window. Glasner is the most successful manager that Crystal Palace have had since we got promoted. He's won Europa League with Frankfurt. Every single football club that he's joined, he has progressed them and pushed them up the table and made them a better football club overall. And not only on top of that, I mean, even his record with strikers as well, which we're right now seeing with Mateta. So overall, I don't think this is a short-term little bounce for Palace. I think this is something which we'll see next season in terms of who we can keep or not, but something that we can actually build upon and push forward. So yeah, look, Glazen's fantastic. He says all the right things. Not only that, he backs up his talk as well. He's not saying, "Oh, we want to win every single game," and you know, we approach the game total opposite. No, we do approach the game in a way that we want to win every single game. There is that confidence with the players. The players 100% believe in his tactics. I mean, I haven't seen a Palace squad this united in a very long time. It feels like everyone is just right behind the manager, which is a massive plus because we've got a massive summer window coming up. And I've said this as well before, the timing of Glasner joining his football club couldn't have been more important than now, due to the fact that if we did not change managers till the end of the season, I think a lot of these players would have left the football club, and I don't even blame them because I don't know how I would have even, you know, survived watching Palace throughout the season till, you know, till Hodgson left. But now that it's happened, at the time that it's happened, I think it's given everyone a belief that, you know what, not everyone will leave. Not that that was going to be the case under Hodgson anyways. But, you know, let's see what we can do next season. And I think the players are looking forward to that as well, based on the comments that they've said.
Yeah, what has changed, like, style of play wise then? So, you know, what can Villa fans expect, and you know, what are you doing? Are you playing possession based football, or is it a bit more sort of, yeah, are you playing?
So it's we do so we press more often, but it's not a all-out press. We have our pressing triggers. We know when to press as a team. We play three at the back, which is turns into five at the back out of possession. Depending, to be fair, the wing backs could push high up in terms of the press to try and stop the wingers as well. We are more direct, so we might not have that much possession. But even against Wolves, I mean, I'm in the first half, we didn't have that much possession, but we created all the chances and we created some very good chances. So we do like to hit teams on a counter attack. The players know exactly when to make the pass, when to take the shot, and it just seems a well-drilled Palace side. Whereas before, the difference was it was a bunch of individuals trying to create something, which sometimes it did work because of the talent that we've seen with Elise and Eze, and sometimes it didn't. But now it is a whole team together, three at the back, depending on it can change to five at the back, depending on in possession, out possession. In possession changes to five, three at the back, out possession more so five at the back. You got two midfielders in Walton, and it was Will Hughes as well, who try to cover the, you know, the back line as well, and the wing backs that push forward, and then in front of them we basically got Eze, Elise and Mateta, who's been fantastic, and they got like this free roll. They drift a bit more centrally, and then you got a wing backs pushing up. So essentially, you got Mateta, Eze, Elise, Mitchell, and Munoz, five players attacking, as well as some midfielders going forward. So many more players in the box, much more attacking, and well, you know, drilled Palace side. Whereas before, I don't think we were that drilled. I think it was just a bunch of individuals that were just performing at the levels, you know, we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I've been massively impressed with you. So, touch on Eze and Elise, the two big ballers in your team. Like, how good are they, and how enjoyable is it to watch them as a fan? Because I imagine, you know, watching those every time they pick up the ball, you're just like, something's going to happen.
Yeah, it is, and it does. It does happen. That's the thing. Like, it's not even like waiting for it. It just happens. And they're both fantastic footballers, but this year has been frustrating because they barely played any games together. And there's this theory now, which is kind of not weird, but it's weird looking from a Palace perspective that Eze and Elise said they're injury prone. And I understand that based on their injury records, but both players have been mismanaged this season massively, in terms of like the injuries, the workload, the fitness, everything. We basically expected them to be robots, and it backfired. Elise, who was not 100% fit, came on whilst we were 3-0 down against Brighton after having a long-term injury in the first place. And then, boom, after 30 seconds, or not 30 seconds, but after a few minutes, he pulls out injured and is out for weeks again. Eze, you know, he hasn't been looked after properly as well. A lot of these players. But now, with Glasner coming into the football club, we've kind of slowly got rid of our injury problems, which shows that it was never a coincidence. It was just a bad management from everyone at the football club. And yeah, Elise on the day, Eze on the day, they're unreal. They love playing with each other. They've got very good chemistry. They know what to expect from each other. And it's very hard to stop them in this Palace side because they're not stuck in a system. They've got that freedom behind the striker. They might drift wide. They might stay central. We saw Olise against Wolves. We saw Eze as well. They've got that freedom. They're both number 10s, as well as now wing backs that push up and midfielders that push up to try and support them. So it's not just Eze versus, it won't be Eze versus Wolves. Oh, no, I mean Villa. It won't be Olise versus Villa. It'll be Elise and Munoz down the right hand side, for example. It will be Mitchell and Eze down the left hand side. And Glasner's basically giving them the freedom to do whatever they want. And it's been working fantastically because they've got it in them. They've got the technical abilities. The only problem has been, first of all, playing games together, which they haven't been able to do. And two, just staying fit, which they haven't been able to do. But now, under Glasner, fingers crossed so far, well, we only got one more game left. They've fixed them. Those issues that's not really allow them to be in a rhythm. Saying that, Elise, I think 15 starts this season with 10 goals. Unreal,
Yeah,
unreal
it's mad.
player. So if he started throughout the season, if he was better managed, then yeah, he would have crazy numbers.
Which one do you prefer at both of them? Who's your favorite?
It's hard. It's hard. I think Elise is probably my favorite. I mean, Eze on his day is fantastic as well. But there's been a few games this season where Eze without Elise, I would say he struggled, but you, there might that might be the case because he's just come back from injury. That might be the case. He's missing Elise. I'm not too sure, but Elise is just unreal. He's unplayable when he's on form. He's got all the technical abilities, and not only that. I mean, he's similar to Adam Wilson as well. He reads the game, brilliantly. And you combine that with technical ability. That's how you get unreal player. A lot of players can be technical, but they won't be able to make the right pass on time, or they won't be able to judge a game properly. But when you got all that ability and you know how to read a game properly, that's unreal. And that is Elise. Elise is consistent from the first minute to the last minute. As Eze has his games as well, but I think Elise just for me is the better footballer. But they're both still crazy good.
Yeah, from the outside, I'd agree with that. I think Elise is quality man. He's so good. Right, so Aston Villa then, what have you made of Villa?
A fantastic season when you look at the league. A bit disappointed about the conference. Against Olympiacos, I genuinely don't know what happened. I mean, I'm Turkish, so I've seen Olympiacos in the previous round against Fenerbahce, and they played very good against Fenerbahce in the first leg at their ground, but then Fenerbahce basically need done that comeback. We were 3-0 down, and we had a comeback. And looking at Villa season so far, I was just surprised that Villa just I thought Villa would have beaten Olympiacos easily after watching both legs of that previous round, and it just didn't happen. But apart from that, I mean, you're back in the Champions League, which is crazy. You've had injuries this season as well as a lot of other teams, but then you've managed just even though in your rough patches, you've still managed to be there and about, and you deserve it. You deserve it. And I think it's good. It's good in a way as well, because these traditional top six clubs, it's not as it was back in the day. There will be the Villas, and hopefully there'll be a few other teams that push and try to achieve that. But now the hardest thing is trying to maintain that, which is going to be hard always. We saw it with Newcastle what happened last season to this season. But the fact that you've achieved it, the fact that you're going to be a Champions League football club, and the fact that you don't have nothing to play for on Sunday, I'll take it. I'll take it because I want our unbeaten run to continue, which is at six right now, and I want it to continue. I just don't want it to end. Even though the season's going to end, I want our unbeaten run to continue to and make it to seven. So hopefully now that you're on the beach, you give us a better chance in terms of continuing that form.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, like we was looking at this last game thinking, you do not want to go there needing something. Normally we finish off with like, what do we expect from the game? But I don't know what to expect. Like, I don't know what we're going to be like. I've no idea. I don't know whether we're going to play any youngsters or, maybe give Duran a game. And, I don't know whether it's going to be like loads of goals and it's end to end, or is it just going to be proper boring, like a nil nil? I don't know. But how do you feel like the game's going to go?
I think Palace will be up for it more than Villa. I think our players are still in that focus mode of, as I said, the unbeaten run, trying to make that seven, as well as they've been enjoying the football as well. So I don't, I, you know, I, without sounding big headed, I do think we should be trying to get a result against Villa because of what's happened. You might be a bit more in a party mode, so just like more relaxed and just, final game of the season. It's been a long season as well because you've had the Europa Conference League, whereas we haven't had that. So for us, I think it's going to be, last home game of the season in front of the fans. Let's get the job done. Whereas with Villa, let's have a party. We saw that last year with Forest when they stayed up as well. They were just relaxed. They were enjoying themselves. They weren't taking it too seriously. And if that's the case, if we could get something out of the game, I'll take it. I'll take it any day of the week. And I think, and I hope that is the case. Because I just, it, as a player, even though they're professionals, like realistically, I don't think Emery would be upset if you lost the game. I don't think the players will be that upset as well. It is what it is. It's happened. Everyone's over the moon. We saw the photos from the award night the other day. And, it just, that's it. That's it. Villa have achieved what they wanted to achieve. And let the season end now. Let the season end. You got bigger fish to fry, as they love to say, for next season. So now you can just relax a bit.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most relaxed I'll ever be watching Villa, to be fair, with like just nothing on it. So anyway, mate, it's been great having you on again. And hopefully we'll chat again next season.
It'll be great. It'll be great. It'll be great. Of course, this season I'm on my phone right now because I'm abroad working. So, sorry about the quality if it's been a bit jumpy. But always a pleasure. Always a pleasure talking to you, bro. And hopefully we catch up with you next season. Champions League Villa, eh?
Cheers, mate.